Let's stand together and sing. Praise Him, you heavens. You don't have to stand up if you don't mind. If you want your settee, that's absolutely fine as well. Great to see you. Well, yeah, I can't, but it's great that you're here. So, brilliant. And what a fantastic way to start a service. It's about Him, isn't it? It's about God, it's thanking Him and declaring who He is. And that's really, really important. So, great to have you. Welcome. And if this is your first time with us, great. Good to have you with us. And if you're listening on the phone too, welcome to you as well. It's brilliant. Let's give our time to God, shall we? Let's pray. So, Father, thank you for, through the wonder of technology, being able to do this while we are restricted from being able to meet in person. But, Lord God, we just give you this time as we share together in this way. Thank you, Lord, for all that you have given and provided for us. And I pray that, Lord, we would get caught up with the work of your Spirit amongst us and in us today. So come, Holy Spirit, come and be with us. And may we just allow you to do in us what you choose to do. We give you the glory, we give you the praise. You are the living and almighty God. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A bit louder, everybody. I can't hear you.
Amen.
Yeah, fantastic. Okay. Rich is with me anyway. That's great. Just a few announcements. Nothing really changing from week to week at the moment. We have our Zoom prayer time this coming Wednesday. That's at 7 for half an hour. So if you are a part of that or you want to be part of that, then I just encourage you to be in touch with us if you haven't got the code for the Zoom meeting, and we'll get that to you. But otherwise, it would be really good to see you as part of the prayer time. It's been great when we've met before. Obviously, during this week, our church is open. We have got we're open for prayer. And three sessions on Mondays between 6 and 8 in the evening, on Wednesday between 10 and 12, and then on a Friday between 2 and 4. And so if you're wanting to spend a bit of time in quiet personal prayer, we can't have a social time, but you can come and you can meet. We've got the church laid out, and you can come and spend a bit of time with God in that personal private setting if you would like. So do come and join us if you want to join us on that. After our service today, we've got our coffee time as normal, 11:30, and again, if you want to be a part of that in the future, then please email us, drop us a note even on the comments today, and we'll make sure that we connect you into all of that stuff. But I hope you're staying well. Things are changing, aren't they? A little bit. So we're starting to lift some of those restrictions, but we are still a bit tied down and we can't get together as we'd like to. But there you go. But what we do have, all expense spared, is Mr. Richard Doherty, who's going to come and do the kids' slot. So over to you, Rich.
Thank you very much. No expense spared. Well, it's lovely to be here in Swanage. my name's Richard. I'm the youth minister here at Emmanuel Baptist Church. To all of you watching at home and listening on the phone, it's great to be with you today. And I've brought in a whole lot of different things which all have one thing in common. So I'll show them to you on the screen, and if you're listening on the phone, I'll try and describe them to you as well. Feel free to shout in the comments what you think the common theme here might be. But the first thing that I've got in is something that everyone should have in their toolkit. It makes a fantastic noise. If you're going to buy one tool, this is probably it. Well, what would you call that? An adjustable spanner or a monkey wrench?
It's a pipe wrench.
It's a wrench, isn't it? It's a pair of mole grips or vice grips. And these are absolutely fantastic because they allow you to grip hold of things. Okay? Things which, if you want to tighten a nut that's really hard, you can grab hold of it with this here. And you can adjust the size to fit all kind of things. You don't need to buy a whole set of different tools. So for the Scotsmans out there, it's absolutely fantastic. You can just buy one of these. In fact, if you've got this WD-40 and some of this stuff, duct tape, not made from real ducks, then you've pretty much got the only thing you need. If it moves and it shouldn't, duct tape and a mole grip. If it shouldn't move, but if it doesn't move but it should, WD-40. So there you go. So duct tape and mole grips. So let's see if we can work out what the theme here. I've also brought in needle and thread. Okay, this is mine for mending my bushcraft gear. So this is some thread and some big needles for stitching leather and stuff like that. Okay, so we've got mole grips. Okay, we've got duct tape. Okay, I've got needle and thread. Okay, very sharp needles there. I've got some araldite. Okay, you know you're a dad when you've got araldite. When I got married to my lovely wife Laura, in fact it was our 10th wedding anniversary on Wednesday, her dad and her stepdad are actually incredibly handy men. They've both worked kind of fixing people's houses and things like that. And as the new husband, I was expected to know how to hang mirrors on walls and all kinds of things that I didn't know. And you start collecting these kinds of things, you start building up this school. So araldite, mole grips, needle and thread. What's these things all got in common? Okay, super glue. Okay, really, really dangerous stuff if you stick your hands to the table or your head, but really, really useful for sticking things back together. I can see people saying DIY, someone saying, are the instruments of torture? No, they're not that. Mending things is right, and another really useful thing to hear actually. So here is a glue gun, okay? It's not as strong as super glue, but for quick jobs or for things which need to flex, that's really useful. Also got a soldering iron here when we do remix. Sometimes cables break and leads and instruments stop working and we need to fix those. I've got an electric guitar here where the headstock is snapped and that needs mending. And as a dad, I had to mend this week. This is either Max's or Alfred's shields. We're off to Corfe Castle later, pre-booked. And the handle got snapped in a war. There was a proper hammer and tongs going on, and the handle snapped off and the shield didn't work. And so as dad, it's my job to work out what the best way to stick it back together is. But maintenance, mending things, joining things together. Yeah, binding things together, making things which are broken fixed, or making two things into one, sticking two things together so that they become one. That's what the soldering iron's for, joining things together and melting them together. The araldite makes a really strong bond. It sticks things together. The super glue sticks things together and they won't come apart again. The needle and thread, mending things together. And that's what I've had to do there. I've also got another project here with Alfred's snare drum that's come apart. One of the nuts has fallen off through heavy use and it's got buried somewhere. So I need to get another one and fix this together so that the snare works. And you've just got to bind these things together and mend them together. Now, why have I brought in all of these different tools and taken up mine and Mark's entire workspace with mole grips and all, he's laughing away in here, all sorts of different things, is because Jesus says these words. He says, when he went to synagogue, his church one day, he said, I have come to bind up, to mend, to fix the brokenhearted. Jesus came to fix, to bind together, to join together and mend the brokenhearted. He said he came to release captives, to bring freedom to the oppressed. Jesus said he came to fix things. He came to fix things. So some of you might know really handy people who are good with tools and good at mending things, good at repairing dishwashers or fixing things which break. Some of you might have a mechanic that you really trust with your car, or some of you might have a gardener or someone who comes around who you trust to look after your place when you're not there. But Jesus says, I came to fix people, to bind them together, and to join them to God. Super glue is very strong stuff. But when you become a Christian, you're joined to God through Jesus in a way that no one can separate. And actually, it's the best way to be. We're going to sing a wonderful song about our Jesus and about what he does for us and that he makes us more than conquerors. Okay, back to Corfe Castle and the shields. If you win the battle, you're the conqueror. Okay, and Jesus says when we are part of his family, oh, we're better than being winners. We're better than conquerors because of what Jesus has done for us.
When my hope and strength is gone, you're the one who calls me on. You are the life, you are the fight that's in my soul. Oh, your resurrection power burns like fire in my heart. When waters rise, I lift my eyes up to your throne. We have day. We are the fires in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins, our Lord. Our God, our conqueror. I will sing into the night. Christ is risen and on high. Greater is He living in me than in the world. No surrender, no retreat. We are free and we're redeemed. We will declare over despair.
Let's pray together. Lord God, we praise you for who you are. Thank you for all that you have done for us. Thank you that we may come to you as children to their loving Heavenly Father. Thank you that your word says, "Don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything." And so, Lord, we continue to pray concerning the global pandemic. Please help scientists across the world to develop an effective vaccine and therapeutic drugs. May their knowledge be shared freely with one another and not kept for gain. We pray for aid organisations to be able to get food, financial aid and emotional support to people whose already fragile circumstances have become desperate because of the pandemic. We pray for our government and advisers for wisdom and that as we prepare for more easing of lockdown, people will act sensibly, and there will not be the second wave which is spoken of. Father, please bless those in business, those who have already lost their job, and all those who are living with great anxiety. Comfort those who mourn. Strengthen the vulnerable and all who have been shielding. Bring peace and healing into their lives. Thank you, Lord, for the NHS, for all the key workers who have helped us through this far. Renew their energy and inspire them with your love. And may your church bring blessing to those in need, confident in the knowledge that you are good and your love endures forever. I'd like to pause at this moment and just allow a bit of space for you to bring your own prayers to the Lord. You may want to pray concerning racial injustice or some other form of suffering in the world. Maybe your prayers are more personal, or for your family and friends. Or you may just want to be still before God. Let's pray. Would you join with me in the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Let's sing together.
You've placed a song within my heart. This song will bless you. Your praise is always on my lips. Whatever life may bring, I know that you are God. So I can trust in you and see. Emmanuel, God with us.
Emmanuel, God with us, Emmanuel, you are near, Emmanuel. Jesus.
Hey, thank you, Adam and Joe. Brilliant, as always. We really appreciate you leading us in the worship in that way. And thanks, Rich, as well. He's brought pretty well the whole of his garage and his shed in here this morning. I tell you, it's quite something. But it's interesting, because the same sort of theme is what I want to look at. Have you ever seen this TV programme, The Repair Shop? It's a lovely programme, it really is, where people bring in their broken, worn out and damaged family heirlooms, historical items they've grown up with. And they may have got broken, but they get them repaired and restored. And they're restored and repaired by an amazing team of skilled experts and talented restorers. And they've done some amazing restorations. This one was just this last week. And this plate, there were two plates. And this woman brought this plate in and it was all broken, as you can see. The one on the left, and then it was restored, and you wouldn't know, would you? Look at that, that was the finished article on the right-hand side. Absolutely incredible. But it was just, it's just such a lovely program, and it's what's really lovely is that you see the whole process, and you see the people bringing it in, and then you see them going away changed, because they've had their article restored and repaired. And it's amazing, because this team know just what to do. They know how to go about doing it. Obviously, I think they have a discussion off camera, but they know what materials to use and process, because they're experts. They do know. They're not like our poor Rich here, who when he got married, I haven't got a clue how to do certain things. When these real experts do it with humility and they do it with pleasure. And it's a real thrill at the end when people come collect their items. It's really special. You know, God is our repair shop. He's our rescue centre, as it were. But he's even better than what they can do. He's more efficient than what humanly is possible. He restores for eternity rather than just for a few memories of this lifetime. And those are important things, but they're not as important as the bigger things of life. And God is more about more significant, wider aspects of life. He's about human beings, interestingly. Human lives. That's what God wants to restore and what God wants to repair. And He may even want to replace certain things which he knows are probably not what are doing us any good. And so he'll go through the whole process and even put some new bits in if that's what we require. But he's wanting to do it for something even better. It's not just to sustain that which has been going, but to actually bring a different level, a better future and a better purpose to enable us to live life on a new level. You know, there's lots of scriptures, but there's one which I think really fits this, and it's Psalm 19. Psalm 19. And I've put that over a picture of the sun rising on Swanage Beach on Easter Sunday morning. I've used that picture before, but it's an important one because, interestingly, the sun features quite strongly in this psalm. So let me read you Psalm 19. This is God's invitation, if you like, into his repair shop. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day they continue to speak. Night after night they make him known. They speak without a sound or a word. Their voice is never heard. Yet their message has gone throughout the earth, and their words to all the world. God has made a home in the heavens for the sun. It bursts forth like a radiant bridegroom after his wedding. It rejoices like a great athlete eager to run the race. The sun rises at one end of the heavens and follows its course to the other end. Nothing can hide from its heat. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Reverence for the Lord is pure, lasting forever. The laws of the Lord are true. Each one is fair. They are more desirable than gold, even the finest gold. They are sweeter than honey, even honey dripping from the comb. They are a warning to your servant, a great reward for those who obey them. How can I know all the sins lurking in my heart? Cleanse me from these hidden faults. Keep your servant from deliberate sins. Don't let them control me. Then I will be free from guilt and innocent of great sin. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. It's a wonderful psalm, isn't it? Absolutely fabulous. And his repairing, God's repairing and restoration process starts with that invitation to look around his workshop. That is so, so lovely. And I tell you what it is, his workshop, it's about creation. It's about the things he's already made. Look at some of these beautiful pictures of different aspects of our creation. It just, his ingenuity, his beauty, his variety, just the immense power and the wonder of the sun alone. It just speaks of God's faithfulness and God's strength. In fact, all of creation speaks. That's what the psalmist says. It even shouts the existence and the wonder of the living and the almighty creator God. And as we consider this creation and we enter into its amazing power, its love for life. Have you ever seen a bee complaining about sort of it, the way it is? No, it just enjoys it. It flips from flower to flower. It loves life. And it just enjoys its existence. And we see, I believe, and discover the character and the creator himself as we look into creation. And as we ponder his handiwork that expresses his very being, his very nature, and we revel in the fantastic design and his eye for detail, we burst into praise and worship. And I think when you watch nature, that's exactly what happens. It's just out there praising. Who told the robin to sing his beautiful song and the blackbird? It's just, I never cease to be appreciative of these lovely creatures. And the beauty of a flower, it's just there. And it's all an expression of worship. For all that God has made is really special. And he's just expressing his incredible ability and his power for life. And then, of course, interestingly, catching a glimpse of this wonderful world and this incredible God, it then makes us consider ourselves in the light of that. This all-powerful, all-creating God and me, well, we begin to recognise, in one sense, because of the wonder of the creation which we've got, that nothing is too difficult for him. Nothing at all is too difficult. He is the God of the impossible. And guess what? You are the pinnacle of that creation. He didn't make a mistake when God did that. He made you because he designed you to come into life at that point. It was a deliberate act. He smiled when he saw you. Even when he knit you together in your mother's womb. And he wants to restore you and restore me, restore us all as we were designed to be, as he as his blueprint was fulfilled. And so he invites you to be part of this restoration process. And he shows you what he can do. His skills and his attention to detail are second to none. Look at the beauty of this butterfly. It's precise. God knows exactly what it was designed for, and he designed it so that it fulfilled its purpose. His word, his promises, his instructions, his plans, his blueprints for you are reliable, and they've been prepared with love and care, because he realises that life needs to be lived, lived to its fullest. But sin and brokenness has damaged that. It's taken that away. It's distorted us. So we're not able to function as we were originally designed to function. Yet God wants to restore. He wants to repair. And he wants to instill his life and his design in us afresh. And you know, we can rely on his love. And we can rely on it through his word and through his promises. It's interesting. As you read through this psalm, the list of things which the promises of God's word actually brings. And we can trust it, because it's perfect. It's trustworthy. It's right. It's clear. It's pure. It's true. The opposite, if you like, of so much of what our world is offering. And yet, as we do fulfill his word, as we enter into the promises which God's given to us, we see that, and we make them ours, we see that God reveals himself to us. He reveals his will and his purpose for us. And what does it do? It brings us some incredible stuff. He revives our souls. It makes wise the simple. Hey, we need that, don't we? It brings joy to the heart. It gives insight for life and for the living. And it brings reverence for God. In other words, that fear of God, as another translation puts it. But it makes the things of life precious, because we understand that there's another greater power than us who has made that which we are experiencing. But he wants us to live it in its fullness and in its entirety. And you know, each one of these promises is fair. Isn't that an interesting word? The translation, the New Living Translation, picks that word out. It's fair. And you know, isn't that the cry of our world? It's not fair. And we want, you know, we think that life has been, it's not doing us right. Do you know why? I think it's because God is not in his rightful place, who makes all things fair. So how amazing are these promises? Things that every human being, I believe, seeks throughout their lifetime. But here they are, offered to us by God. And you know, as we take them on board and as we follow them, they become increasingly precious and valuable to us. Even like gold, as the psalmist says. Yet even more so. And even sweeter than the honey dripping from the comb. Gold, you know, is that most precious of metals, isn't it? It's that which our world sets its financial value and wealth upon, of individuals or nations. And yet, the comparison which the psalmist makes is that God's words of life, and that which God offers, is much more precious and desirable than gold, the purest of gold. So much more security and comfort than earthly gold. And honey, the honey that drips from the comb, which naturally brings health and has many healing properties, nor natural honey. Yet, the psalmist says that God's words are better, richer, and bring a deeper sense of healing and restoration to human life on every level, because these words of God have divine power. So God repairs us, and God desires our restoration, our healing, internally and externally. And of course, he now does this through Jesus. That was, this psalm was written under the old covenant. We're now living under a new covenant with the Son of God, Jesus himself, and all that he went through at the cross and the resurrection, bringing it into reality for us, into that personal, intimate relationship with us. And so what God does, he gently but then firmly works with us and in us to bring that restoration process, bringing us back on track, shaping us to what he wants us to be. He works on where things have gone wrong, where we are broken. He renews us by removing the sin and all that's been damaged. And he restores you to his original design. It's all part of his loving work, carefully and skillfully repairing you and me with his strong but gentle hands, rewarding you and me in the end by unfolding his plan and his purposes for us and for a life in its fullness. You know, going back to that TV program, The Repair Shop, people have to bring their items, their heirlooms, their objects to the repair shop so that they can be dealt with, so they can be repaired and restored. They come and they ask. They request the team's help. They entrust and they leave their treasured items with the team. And they accept that changes will be made, and but they're made in that process of restoration, usually and more often than not, for the better. And the same goes with God, I believe. We need to come to him, make our requests and trust him. Trust that he knows better. He is the expert. He's the one who designed it all in the first place. And we need to let him do only what he can do and leave it with him, accepting the changes that he will make, which will definitely be for our benefit and for the better and for our blessing in the process. And then finally, verse 14 of this psalm, I love it. And I'm sure this is what part of Psalm 19 you will know probably the best. It expresses a changed heart. It expresses one that no longer seeks and desires selfish things, but rather a pure yearning to be clean, to be as God wants us to be in the centre of his will, to be his possession. And that we're here to please him and dwell in him and rest on him forever. And in those lovely words, our rock and our redeemer. You know, he then becomes the place of our security and our comfort. The place of fresh starts and fresh opportunities. So my thought about all of this is, let's bring ourselves to God's repair shop. Let's bring ourselves, let's come, let's ask him to do his repairing and his restoration in us. Let's allow the loving creator to fix us up and to send us out so that we can live life as God designed it to be, at its best. Let's just say together those final words again, can we? They come up on the screen. So let's say these words together. So may the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Lord God, we give ourselves to you afresh. We want, Lord, you to repair us and to restore us. Put us back into that place which we were designed to be, so that, Lord, we can be as you have designed us to be, living life to its fullness. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and for your care and for giving us access. Lord God, thank you. We worship you and we give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you. We're going to sing our final song. So over to you again, Adam. Thank you.
Our last song this morning is a great song of praise. O Lord my God, sings my soul, my Saviour, God to thee, how great thou art.
O Lord my God, when I innocent wonder, consider more the works thy hand has made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power to love the universe display. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly, my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Him sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul,
it's all about that power of creation, isn't it? But if there's anything which you're feeling God is wanting to work on in you, then do get in touch if you feel that you need some help and support in that process. We are here and we can help you with that. But we're going to finish. I've just noticed a comment from him in the sort of comments box that he's just got out of the bath. But hey, Leo, you must have been really quick, mate, because we've now got you saying the grace again. This is from a few weeks ago. But the Lord bless you, and let's be blessed by Leo sharing the grace with us. Thanks.
So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forevermore. Amen.